So if you have your Bible here, you can open up at the sixth book, the book of Joshua, and we're going to read a couple of verses together. So we're going to read together from Joshua 1, verse 1, all the way to verse 9, and then we're going to take it from there.
Yay. So, Joshua 1, verse 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given to you, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go."
Father, we want to thank you for your word that is everlasting to everlasting, Lord. Father, we thank you that we can come to your word, Lord, and actually discover that as we store your word in our hearts, Lord, there in every season, Lord, that we will not sin against you, God. Father, I trust that our hearts will be storerooms for the word of God. And Father, I thank you that your word is sharper than a two-edged sword and dividing between what is from you and what is not from you. And Father, we trust that as we come and approach this your word, Father, I trust that we will hear the call of God. That there would be such a sense that faith will be stirred, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the book of Joshua starts with a very interesting beginning, because it starts off, that's Nico's Bible that's falling apart. A Bible that's falling apart belongs to somebody that isn't. Put that on your fridge magnet. So, it starts off with actually an announcement of Moses that is dead. And I want to actually take us back and use a little bit of our imagination that is given to us by God, and picture yourself a couple of thousand years ago in the shoes of a man called Joshua, the son of Nun, who is the assistant of this great man, Moses. And put yourself in his shoes and imagine hearing this news that the great leader, Moses, is dead. Moses is the leader that took about 2.4 million people out of Egypt. Well, they weren't 2.4, but at the end they went to that direction. He was the great leader, the great deliverer, the great savior of Israel that took them out of captivity into freedom. This was the great Moses that the 10 plagues, opening up the sea, manna from heaven, and hitting a rock and water comes out. the wise leader is dead. And if you can put yourself in his shoes, hearing this for the first time, or you hearing this, what emotions comes up in your heart? Is there something of uncertainty? Is there something of fear that grips your heart? Where to from now? Out of Egypt, into a wilderness, we haven't entered into the promised land yet. Where should we go now? No leader, no direction, no hope. And isn't that sometimes the story of many of us? That we find ourselves in situations of great fear, of great uncertainty, and of great hopelessness. Even today, maybe. And on top of that, when we consider these people, they have been wandering around in a desert for 40 years. You are quite tired after wandering around for 40 years in a desert, not entering into the promised land in 40 years, and then your leader dies. And that is where we pick up the story of great uncertainty, great hopelessness, great fear, and a lot of question marks. And that is where many of us might be finding ourselves. But I love where the story continues. It says in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving you. That the answer that God has for Joshua and the people of Israel, and I believe the answer that God has for every single one of us facing fear, hopelessness, question marks, is actually to take us by the chin, lift our gaze, and lift our eyes to see again what the Lord has called us to. He comes to Joshua and he says, yes, this is the situation that you find yourself in. Take your eyes off that, and I want to show you the things that I want to take you in. And I believe that is what God wants to come and do with us as a congregation, to actually take a little bit of our eyes off ourselves, to gaze upon what God has called us as his bride and his church to, and that there would be a new flame and birth within us as his church, and that there will be a sense of hope again, of mission again, of direction again, as God lifts our gaze. Amen. Verse 3 speaks about, I promise you what I promised Moses. And the question is, what did he promise Moses? What did he promise the Israelites? He promised them a promised land of milk and honey that they would go and inherit. And obviously, we are sitting in Stellenbosch that is quite milk and honey. And it is an amazing town. But we know underneath the new covenant, that is not the things God has called us into a physical country or physical dwelling place. But there's something different that I believe God has called us and purposed us as his church to. And I want us to open up in Ephesians 3, verse 10, that speaks about for us as his church, what is he called us to? His intent or God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. God wants to use his church and come and form something in her and then put her on display that every single one in the world can look at the church of Jesus Christ and see that because of her and what Christ has done within the church, it reveals the glory and wisdom and power of our God. God wants to put every single one of you on display. And I want to say how he does this, he takes us as individuals, he takes us sinful, broken, strange, insecure, fearful individuals. And then he takes us out of that slavery, he takes us out of this world, out of Egypt, and he starts to form something within every single one of us. Firstly, what he starts to do is he takes you with all of that sin and brokenness and he redeems you. He redeems you. He sets you free and he says, I declare that no longer you are guilty, but you are free. But not free to do whatever you want, but free to live for me. That no longer that you are master to Egypt, but you are master, that your master is no longer Egypt, but I am your Lord. I am your master, and I'm a good God. And then he starts to take us on this journey by forming something in every single one of us. And what is that? God is forming God within you. God is forming Christ in you. His character, his nature, and his will. He's taking out the heart of stone and putting in a heart of flesh. He is writing his laws on your heart that no longer do you need to do behavior modification, but your desires change from within you and you start to live for the glory of Christ. And then what he does is he takes every single one of us and he starts to form us together as his church, as his people, and as we start to relate to one another out of reverence for Christ, and that there is something of a glory in his people, that we love the way we love, he loves, we forgive the way he forgives, and he puts us on display, the whole world would say, God is in their midst. There's something different about those people. And I want to say in Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16, it says, you, say you. Let's turn it around. I am the light of the world. We can stop there. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We are to shine for Jesus in this lost and dying world. We can't be buckethead Christians continually putting buckets over our head and that the world can't see the glory of God. There's something that we need to be front-footed. There's something in us that God has placed a going in our heart that he has called us to bear much fruit for his glory. His intended purpose for us on the earth is to be a church that he has called us that would reflect him, that would be beautiful, that will be like him, and that the whole world would say, Christ is dwelling in their midst. God is dwelling in their midst. It cannot be natural the way that these people from all ways of life and how sinful they are and actually how selfish they are and how is it possible that through such a variety and such a massive group of people, God can form one man in himself for the glory of God. And I believe God is calling us again as a church to lift our gaze and to behold what he's called us to be a light to the nations. Not just a light in our community group, not just a light in your room, but it is something of nations that will be impacted through what God is doing in every single one here. Psalm 2 verse 8 is God the Father declaring something and speaking something towards Jesus. Before this is that verse that speaks about that you are my beloved son, today I've begotten you. And then it goes on to say, ask of me, Jesus, and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. Ask of me. The Father looks at the nations. He looks at all of the people. He looks at those that do not know him yet. And he looks at this and he says, all of this in front of you is yours, Jesus, as your inheritance. You can have it. This is for your glory and your honor. God desires all mankind to be saved and come underneath the lordship of Christ to be worshipers for him. But then Christ, God, Jesus does something interesting in Matthew 28, and he says, therefore, now you go. You go as my people and go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That there's something that as God says that there's a possession for Jesus, there's inheritance for Jesus, there's something of glory for you to inherit, Jesus goes and says, go and take it. Go and bring in my kingdom. Come and bring in my people. I desire, my greatest desire in the heart of Jesus is to see people get saved. That they would come in and would experience the love that we have for one another, the family that we have with one another, the forgiveness that is in this room, that we are built different. Hallelujah. All the gym guys, yo, especially me. And I want to say that this is something for all of us. But this is not just something in our future. This is something that as a congregation, we have been walking in. People have come across the world to see what God is busy doing among you. Do you know that? I just wrote some countries down of people that have come into this building to watch what God has been doing here, and they've marveled at the goodness of God and how is it possible what God is doing under such a bunch of young people. We've had people from Germany, Netherlands, Belgium, UK, America, Canada, Switzerland, Brazil, Japan, Namibia, Zimbabwe, Malawi, Mozambique, Madagascar. We've had the nations coming to behold a light shining in a lost and dying world. And there's been something that God has started with 40 people. This church was planted about 4, 5 years ago with 40 individuals. Nameless, faceless individuals. We don't know, actually, I don't even know who they are. Some of you, who was in that first 40? Yakub, me? Nico, hallelujah. And from there on, God has done something special within us. He's done something with 40 individuals. He's grown us, and it's not about numbers that I'm sharing here. I'm sharing about the heart of God. I'm sharing about worshipers. I'm sharing that what God has done here needs to have ripple effect for the glory of God into the nations. We now have 2 congregations, a 4 and a 6 p.m. And from this congregation in COVID, they planted out Worcester congregation. Josh Jane, Porch of Struum has been going, and there's leaders being put in place there, and they're busy planting, and that thing is growing and gaining momentum in Porch of Struum. But a Dastorp came in because of the light, what was busy happening here. And it's so amazing that in 4 years or in 5 years, 5 churches has come from what God has been doing in our midst. And that is our inheritance, and that is the inheritance that Jesus has for us and for himself. And I want to say, we haven't seen anything yet. 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us something, the ministry of reconciliation. God take like sinful, broken, messed up people, and he reconciles and brings us into relationship with himself. And then he says, now that you've been reconciled, now that you've been brought back into a right relationship with me, now go. You have a ministry if you're sitting here. It's not just me holding the mic or Francho of those. It's not that. It's every single one of us having a responsibility to be God's church. We don't have time for people just sitting week in and week in here, being a lot of sponges, becoming fat Christians, just consuming the whole time and not being doers of the world. We need to be that, a light to the nations. We need to be that, to be doers of the word and to say, God, if you say go, I'll go. If you say advance, I'll advance. If you say reach, I'll reach. If you say reconcile, I'll reconcile everything with 2 legs and amputated legs. Everybody will come into the kingdom of God for his sake. Sorry. I'm like excluding some people. I'm like, everyone needs to come into the kingdom of God. I want us to lift our gaze and to consider the scriptures, because this is what God has for us, to be a light to the nations. Verse 5 says, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous. I want to say, we need a lot of strength and courage to inherit the promises of God. but we're not doing it alone. But there's something that might steal that courage and strength, and it's called comparison. But God speaks to Joshua into a deep thing in his heart that might have been insecurity, because Joshua needs to measure up against a man named Moses. And all of those things that I mentioned earlier was him. And now, Joshua, you need to lead the people of God, but you need to take over from that guy. And I think sometimes that's the way that we consider, yeah, I want to run for Jesus and advance the kingdom of Jesus, but when I look over my shoulder, I see giants in the faith. I see that 40 that has went before me and has planted this great church and has done magnificent things, and I look at certain people and I'm fearful. And isn't that sometimes how we feel when it comes to the call of God? We start to compare against other people. I want to say, then God spoke into the situation and says, as I was with those people, I will be with you. I love this verse, James 5, verse 17, that says, it speaks about the prophet Elijah. It says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are, or just as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. The great prophet Elijah prayed earnestly before God and miraculously changed nature, that God intervened and stopped rain for 3.5 years as a judgment against the nation. This is the same Elijah that called down fire from heaven to consume the prophets of Baal. And then James points out about this man and says, he was just like us. I want to say, every single human being that has set foot on the earth is a man and a woman just like us. Broken, sinful, insecure, fragile, lost, but reconciled and empowered by God. What God can do through Moses, he can do through us. So the question for all of us is, where are we finding our strength and courage? And I wish they added it actually in there. Not that I wish they add to the Bible. But it feels for me, it's just appropriate to say, when he speaks to Joshua and says, be strong and courageous in me. Find your strength in me. Find your courage in me. Find everything that you need in me. I am the sufficient one. And I want to say for us as a congregation, if you feel there's lack, find it in God. If you need boldness, find it in God. If you're insecure, come to God. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. And I love how he goes into the nitty-gritties of the call of God and says, for you to be able to fulfill this call, you need to stay on my way. You need to stay close to my word. You need to meditate on it day and night. And at the end, verse 8 says, only then, only when you obey my word, only when you stay close to my way and to my way, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. I want to say, only if we stay close to God's word will we ever prosper and walk and shine the light to a lost and dying world. Otherwise, we will become a little candle on a hill. Because we will not be reflecting Him, we will be reflecting something different. The whole world is screaming out that every single one should love, but love in a worldly way, love in a selfish way, love in a consumer way. But we need to love according to God's word, a sacrificial love, a different kind of love, to turn our cheek when people go against us and insult us, to be different than the world. Not to hold grudges or to go against a brother or a sister. We should release quickly. There should be something different about the people of God, because that is the way that it's revealed in God's word. Only then, if we stay close to God's truth, will we reflect and shine bright. Stay close to God's word. I love Psalm 119, verse, I think it's 11, that says, I store your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. We need to be a storehouse for the Word of God and the ways of God and the character of God and the nature of God, that when people come in here, they will be full of God because they've seen it in us. We need to fill ourselves with God's Word. I love in Acts 9:2, it speaks about the believers and it refers to them as people of the way. The way. And the question is, what way? It's His way. His truth. His life. We need to be people of the way. God's book. I want to end off with verse 9 that says, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous." Sorry, I read that wrong. "This is my command. Be strong and courageous, says the Lord." Exclamation mark. "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Not where you stay, not where you procrastinate, not where you try to hide away, not where you are too fearful to speak to people. In your going, God is with you. In the Great Commission, He says, "Go therefore and make disciples." And He goes on and He goes on and He goes on. And then at the end, in the last verse, He says, "But I will be with you. I will be with you." Our God is with us. And I believe God is calling us as a people back into a season of great courage and great hunger for the things of God. That there's something again that needs to burn against in our heart to say, from now on, I want to advance. I need to see more people come into the kingdom of God. I need to. Why? Because I'm reflecting His desire to see all mankind saved. The Bible says that God does not delight in the destruction of the wicked. God does not delight in that. And there's something of a commissioning that the Lord wants us to pick up again to be who He has called us to be. But I want to say that the call of God took place just after death. And I think some of us need to die to some things. For us to be able to inherit something, death needs to happen. There needs to be a dying of the things of the wilderness. There needs to be a death of sin, because some people did not inherit the promised land. You can go read all of, in a sense, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and then also Hebrews, refers to some people because of disobedience that did not inherit the promises of God. We need to kill sin in the camp. Otherwise, we will not inherit. Some of us need to kill self. That there's something of yourself is hindering you from reaching out. There's something of holding on to what people think of you. Who cares what people think about you? You're anyway worse. I promise. Some of us needs to die to our dreams and our vision and our career and our studies. That thing is an idol in your life that needs to die in the desert. Because we're planning our life and camping around that thing as if it is the presence of God. Holding on to our career and our studies. If I have a degree, then this thing will provide for me. Then this thing will give security to me. Then this thing will start to feed me. Then you will not inherit the kingdom of God. We hold on to that thing as if it's God. God needs to provide, God needs to protect, God needs to sustain, not your degree and not your job one day. We can't center our lives around those things. You will stay in the desert. And I believe God is calling us again to wake up, that there's something more for us, and not sit around and just kumbaya a little bit more. The whole thing, I wanted to cry throughout worship. Because I'm sitting in this room, and all I can think about is people not being here. That God left in 99 to go fetch the one. And there's people that is not here tonight. And if God left the 99 for the one, then it means He's not with the 99, He's with the one. That there's something of, are we hungry again? And is there a desire in us that every single one in your community group needs to be with the people of God? Or is it okay if they slip away? Is it okay if they fall in distance? Is it okay if they stay back in the desert? That's a worldly way of thinking. And I believe God wants to wake us up again to be our brothers and sisters' keepers. That is something that we fight for one another. One attribute about the Joshua generation is it was a together thing. That there was 12 tribes, and as the one tribe needed to inherit the promises of God, all 11 left their promises. They fought for the one person because his victory is all of their victory. And then that person would leave his piece of land again and fight with the others so that they can inherit it again. That is what God is calling us to, that every single one would inherit and advance. I think there's a call in God for us to evangelize again, to plant more churches. Like, Henry, isn't this big enough? Then you don't know God. He's far more worthy of the amount of worshipers that sits here. He's glorious and great. He desires all mankind to be saved because he's worthy. And even then, it will not be enough. I think there's something again of the call of God that needs to, in a sense, stir in our hearts that we wake up praying. To trust God in the seasons. Not look at our own dirt and our own mud and our own things, but there's more. And the whole 412 of us looking at this bracelet, equip, restore, advance. I think we get stuck at equip and restore. Equip, restore, equip, restore, equip, restore, and only in the going you will get the stories. You will see the promised land and you will inherit. I think God is calling us to be again a Joshua generation. Joshua and Caleb went to go scout the promise of God. He went with the 12 spies into the promised land. And I want to say, what are you seeing when you walk around in Stellenbosch? What do you see when you walk around in the Winelands area? What do you see when you drive around in Western Cape? What do you see when you travel the nations? What do you see? Are you like the 10 coming back and say, this world is wasting away? Or are you seeing inheritance? Are you seeing worshipers? Are you seeing lost people that needs to be reconciled? What are you seeing? Because only if you see, you will start to inherit with faith. And I think God wants to stir faith in our hearts again to inherit. And I think the question is, where to from here? Where to from here? And I think initially I wanted to say, I don't know. I don't know actually. But I believe we can see what God has called us to. I believe there's something of God wanting to lift our gaze again, that the church is called to be put on display as a product of his wisdom, of his power, of his majesty and glory, that we are called to be built together as living stones to be a dwelling place for our God. I think that is the greatest call that anyone can be called to, is that God comes and dwell within us. Not in a service, not on a Wednesday meeting, but in a people. That there's something of those people that they shine. They love different. They forgive different. They draw in different. They are kind. They are gentle. They are slow to anger. They run after one another. They really do have one another's backs. When one is in need, all is there. I believe God is calling us again that the church of Jesus Christ should arise. Not looking at death, not looking at circumstances, but lift our head and to shine to a lost and dying world. Let's stand.